Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. We work with broker-assisted clients, self-directed. We have a fantastic online platform and phone app. Our most popular service category is actually one of the hybrids, which is a mix between the both. And I write Turner's Take Ag Marketing for our hedging clients and those interested in the ag markets. And I write Turner's Take Market Alert, which has more of our spec ideas. And then anyone can receive the Turner's Take Weekly and get the podcast. So if you have any questions for me or want to contact me, all my contact information is in the show notes of this podcast and also always on those websites, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. So let's get into it. We did a quick podcast yesterday, and now we're kind of doing part two. Today it is the after of the WASDE. Long story short, that's probably the most boring January WASDE I've ever seen. It was just everything came in as expected. There were no surprises. You know, winter wheat acres were really came in. South American production was pretty spot on. I mean, within only, I mean, for, you know, yeah, the wheat ending stocks, corn and soybeans were all within, we're all within expectations. Quarterly stocks, D1 stocks for corn were a little bit lower than I thought, but for the most part, it was really, was not a whole lot to be changed here. So at the end of the day, we were kind of hoping for a little bit more bullish news in corn, and we didn't get it. I was kind of hoping we'd be below 1.7 billion on the carryout. We were 1.7 billion and change. So corn ended up 2 cents down, two in the old crop, one in the new crop. You know, the soybean market was up 2 cents. I think that after being down, the initial reaction was corn was higher, beans were lower. I think the reason why beans aren't breaking here is really because this China deal and the United States deal still needs to get done, and the market realizes that, and that's what's kind of holding values up here. Corn's a little different. I don't think, you know, we are at around 375, 380 area. I would expect the front month in corn to trade anywhere between 370 and 390 still. I can't see us going much below 370. I think there's just too much value there on the corn side between exports and where we're priced globally. I think you get up into the mid to high 380s and even 390, you're going to see a lot of selling. There's so much corn still out there. So when we get back on Monday, I'm going to take one more or another look or a couple of looks this weekend again at the WASDE and check out our estimates. But what we are going to do most likely is get back into the old crop short straddles. And what we'll end up doing is, you know, the philosophy behind it is there is still crop in storage that we're going to be selling the calls on. And also on the put side, when we're selling the puts, the idea is, you know, if it gets down to that low, that really low range, we have no problem being long again. And then just playing it that way. I think this is an environment of singles and doubles. I think farmers can make nickels and dimes every 6 to 8 weeks on the old crop in storage, or at least, and the old crop they've already sold. And I think we can continue to do that for the time being. I don't think, I just don't see us breaking out of that range right now. So again, I'm going to look at this all over again this weekend, and then we'll probably come out guns blazing on Monday. As for the new crop, we still have our straddles. I still like them. There's nothing in this report that has changed my mind. You know, Dease corn is at $4 right now. We're going to be range bound for a while. We're going to have a 1.7 carryout. You add on a couple million acres for corn, we'll be under 2 billion when the ag forum comes out later. If the The ag form's got to come out, but as long as the government stays open and the ag form comes out, we will probably see a million, let's just call it 2 million acre increase. Let's just say it's 91 million trendline yield. That's going to probably add on 200 million to ending stocks for new crop. So the old crop, new crop ending stocks are still going to be in between 1.5 and 2 billion. It's probably be like 1.7, 1.9. And that's stable prices for at least for a while until there's some kind of weather issue. So I really like those old crop, those new crop straddles too on corn. I think soybeans are going to be a trickier situation. What happens when the U.S. and China do make a deal and all the soybeans that were bought are bought, right? And you know, and China makes a commitment to keep on buying beans from us, and also buying energy, and you know, probably some protein products like pork and beef, and manufacturing whatever it is. And we still have these large carryout numbers for soybeans, and for soybeans, not just in the United States but around the world, with South American harvest coming up. It's tough to argue for the old crop over 9, and the new crop at 950. At that point, I know why the market's staying up here. It's because it's very difficult to short this market if the U.S. and China are going to be, announce a deal. I think once that gets cooked in and baked in, you know, to prices, what's the next bullish? What's a possible bullish caveat for? I mean, what's a possible bullish catalyst for soybeans? And I don't see one. I mean, if you do, I would love to hear about it, but I just don't see a bullish catalyst for soybeans after the U.S. and China get this deal done. And by the way, I don't know why the market sold off the other day, because they, you know, Trump said he wasn't, or the administration said Trump was going to talk to the Chinese premier until the end of the negotiations. All trade negotiations go like that. It always comes down to the last minute. Nothing's getting done early. That's just the nature of the beast. So I don't see any reason why that should be different this time around, especially with things so complex and such. We're talking such a two large economies like this. So that's where we are. Chicago wheat was higher today and was really on the idea of Egypt buying soft red winter wheat. And the Chicago wheat and Kansas City wheat spread actually went further into Chicago by a few cents today too, so we'll have to revisit that. Egypt ended up buying the wheat. You know, in theory, it's the hard red wheat that I would expect to be the better of the value, but we're seeing the funds in there. You know, they were buying a soft red. They're buying the Chicago wheat, regardless of protein differential. It was. I mean, you can make the fundamental case that it was soft red wheat that was bought here, but the fact that, you know, March Chicago wheat is 518, yet the hard red wheat in Kansas City is 495 is really starting to, you know, to push, you know, be a bit much in that spread, I think. So we'll keep a closer eye on that too. As for wheat here, it is, but regardless of the wheat class, it was bullish to see. To see that, I know the stocks are around a billion, but if we keep on getting demand like this, that will keep wheat supported. Let's take another quick look at the numbers here as we go forward into Monday. Usually, okay, there's a rule that it takes 2 days for the USDA to trade. I'm going to be surprised if that report was so benign. I'll be surprised if we see any real reaction to Monday. I think the highlights, just to quickly go over it before we wrap it up here for the weekend. You know, they did lower corn production by about 200 million because the yield came down 2.5 bushels. That's what we were thinking. You know, the reason why this wasn't as bullish as we thought is just because the demand numbers are also lowered in corn. So we saw lower demand for ethanol, which makes sense. It didn't inch it down a lot, but enough. Like, just because, you know, with crude oil this low, you're not going to see as much demand for corn for ethanol. And also the feed number. The feed residual was down by 125 million. So that was a little bit bigger than we expected. So so we'll have to keep an eye on that and see why the USDA, I'll have to read it over the week, why the USDA exactly did that. It was encouraging to see. Was D-SWIN ending stocks were about 11.9 million, So 11.9 billion. And that was down about 600 million from last year. So indeed, things were, you know, tighter. And, you know, it's been the lowest. That was a pretty good number. It will be interesting to see if China secures, you know, this 8 to 12 million metric tons of corn that that they're talking about. That would be fundamentally bullish. Well, and that's a good and that's another reason why I think corn gets supported here. If we do see China and this deal buy corn, and there's been talk of 8 to 12 million metric tons, just so everyone gets an idea, if that's 8 million metric tons, to be on the conservative side, you know, it's about 300 million bushels. So all this, so I mean, there's carry out, then all of a sudden go from 1.7 and change to 1.4 and change. I mean, if it does, to me, that argues for, you know, new crop making a run towards $4. I mean, oh, I'm sorry, old crop making a run towards $4 and new crop making a run towards that 420, 430 level, the highs that we saw last year. So, I don't know, that's going to underpin the, that will underpin, I think, the market between now and when that U.S. and China deal gets done. So that's going to be the major catalyst. The second major catalyst or thing to look for is going to be the ag form. It'll be very interesting to see what they use for estimates. You know, the trend line yield is the trend line yield. Some people argue that the trend line yield should be the 10-year instead of the 20-year trend line yield. And the reason why is because, you know, there's been kind of an exponential uptick in the yields a little bit with the development in technology. Because if you look at the trend line yield for the 20, I want to say the yield would be like closer to, you know, 176, 177. But if you use the 10-year trend line yield, you know, you're closer to like 178, 179. You know, are we still going to see this increased production that the seed technology and the genetics have, you know, keep on expanding at this rate, or is it going to level off? Well, we'll still keep on going up, but revert more to the mean of the past 20 years. That's been an interesting topic of discussion. So we'll have to see what happens there too. Just going to quickly take a look at this before we wrap up. Winter wheat seedings at 110-year low at 31.3 million acres. Hardwood wheat seedings only 22.2 million, which is down 4%. Soft red winter wheat was down 7%. So that was a little bit supportive of Chicago over Kansas City, too. Finally, let's just wrap this all up with soybeans. Yeah, the stocks came down to 910. You know, crush was higher. Soybean oil was a little bit higher, too. And I don't know, we're going to, and also the South American, I don't think the South American stocks were, you know, production was really lowered enough than it needed to be. And we'll just have to, and I think that is about it. I'm just looking over this thing one last time. Yeah, the Brazilian crop was cut, actually. At 5 million metric tons to 117. I think that can come down a little bit more, but we'll just have to see. So, let's see. USDA report, overall, not a really big deal. I think that we may see some cuts for China in the soybean imports. And I think that's really, you know, corn's going to be supported in that low 370s. I think soybeans and the new crop are going to be real tough to go over, let's say, like 930 or 925. But we'll just have to keep an eye on that too. So everyone have a great weekend. We can talk a little bit later on, or I'll talk to you guys on Monday or Tuesday about what we're going to do on the straddles, and we'll just go from there. All right, everyone have a great weekend, and I'll be sending out emails on Monday about what we're going to be doing with the grain markets.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation termination or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.